My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Okay, now Deshaun Watson might be open for a trade. All right, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We're going to get to a lot of football today, both college pro. We got a lot of baseball to get to as well. But before we get to anything, Perloff, really serious situation that happened, obviously, with Hurricane Milton. And now the hurricane looks that it has passed over Florida, and we're just watching the images on TV. It is so scary looking. The images from Tropicana Field were unreal, with basically the roof kind of flying, bits of the roof flying off. It was crazy. And obviously, we're thinking of everyone down there.
Yeah, so I guess the hurricane is now over the ocean, which is good news. A lot of people without power. Our friend Tony Dungy, at least a guy who used to be around the DP show a lot, said that his neighborhood had minimal damage in North Tampa. So that's good. I think that it's still an assessing the damage thing. That the images of the stadium, if you haven't seen them yet, look them up on the internet. That is wild.
It is crazy. And you know, now you said it, 3 million people without power. We have no idea when, obviously, they're going to get that back, the flooding, and just hoping that everyone heeded the call, right? To get out, get away, you know, heroes here, not worth it. And so we're going to be keeping an update on that. Geez, some of these images of things on fire, it is just crazy. We're going to try to distract, try to entertain as much as we can. And this Deshaun Watson thing, you can't say that it really came out of nowhere, Pearl.
Well, I don't know what is real. There was a lot, like some of these football websites were spreading a rumor around that Deshaun Watson, I'm not even sure where this story came from, but I think it took it to the next level because Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, decided that was enough to write a long piece on how this could work. Let's face it, if you pull back, like Deshaun Watson cannot be a Cleveland Brown next year. I'm sorry, like this experiment has gone so bad. He looks miserable there. They look miserable with him. It feels like every trade, we're talking a lot about Devontae Adams. Everyone's like, it's the money, it's the money, it's the money. At a certain point, there's just reality. Like, this player cannot be on this team. It's a bad look for Cleveland. It's a bad look for him. So make it happen, Maggie.
You want me to? What?
Yeah, you're a capologist.
Get on the phone. That's only in my spare time. You know, here's the thing. We see this a lot more in the NBA than we do in the NFL, where the contract is terrible the moment the pen hits the paper, where you don't even get like a celebratory, oh, this could work out. It almost feels maybe I'm just looking at it in hindsight.
Oh, yeah.
But it felt bad the moment it happened.
No. That is hindsight. We thought at the time that Cleveland won the Deshaun Watson lottery.
They won it, but this is a franchise that's been dysfunctional, a franchise with terrible ownership, a franchise that has cycled through quarterbacks and head coaches.
Yeah.
They have a good defense, so we thought, all right, they have a good defense, and we think Stefanski is a good coach, so could they make this work? But in the meantime, we probably should have had an idea that there were going to be challenges here.
Because it's hard to turn the...
Prof, I think there was just like a fog over this signing, though.
Show me a clip of a football analyst saying this is a bad deal.
I think we didn't.
I'll be honest, we were way too positive on it as a show.
Well, because we saw the defense for Cleveland, I think we thought Deshaun Watson was going to be that guy from Houston.
Yes.
I think what we underestimated was, you know, it was one of those things that with all the allegations and the off-the-field stuff with Deshaun, which I think does play a role in this.
Sure.
The fan base sort of had to hold their nose and be like, oh, great, the savior's here. We finally get a good quarterback. But you don't feel, it's not this like the king has arrived, you know, because you're always feeling a certain type of way about all the details of those allegations. And then let's also call it what it is. He got hurt.
Yeah.
The shoulder has been an issue and it's continued to be an issue.
I think we also underestimated another part of this. The Cleveland Browns. Like, we thought all of a sudden they were not going to be the same Cleveland Browns from, remember the Hard Knocks season where they became an NFL joke? That wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't just the Hard Knocks season that made
them a joke. I mean, when Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson were getting into it, that was like 8 years ago. Like, this organization has always found the banana peel, and I think we underestimated their inability to build a consistent winning team. So I think it's all parties here. By the way, some details from Florio. In 2017, I believe, the Broncos traded Brock Osweiler and his $17 million guaranteed salary. Big deal back then.
Yeah, I remember that.
They had to attach a second-round pick. So Florio is wondering, can the Browns trade Deshaun Watson and a first-round pick to a team who would take that money off their hands or maybe 2 seconds? Basically, the Browns would have to give up a lot of draft capital to get rid of Deshaun Watson. And I said, that's ridiculous. No one's going to do that. And then E.J. Stewart came up with an idea.
Well, first of all, the irony that they would have to start attaching draft picks when they already gave away all these draft picks to get Deshaun in the first place. So how many are you going to mess around with? E.J., you think you have a destination if Deshaun Watson wants a trade?
Yes. Go to a franchise where you have basically red carpet for all kinds of characters and cast-offs and maybe other people that you wouldn't want to have around your organization, but you'll take them in. A history of doing stuff like this. What about Las Vegas? You don't have a quarterback at all right now. Aiden O'Connell's not going to be the answer. We know Minshew isn't. You could use that first-round pick. Like, they clearly need a lot of talent. Maybe you take a flyer on Deshaun, let him be your quarterback for 2 years, take in that high draft pick, take whoever is a Travis Hunter or somebody like that. Or maybe it's a young quarterback. Maybe you're still drafting his replacement. But that might be your best option to build your team for the future by holding your nose and taking Deshaun Watson. If there's any fan base that could maybe stomach having Deshaun Watson around for a couple years, this might be the only one.
Yeah, Maggie, you said no team, no owner would make a deal like this. I present to you Mark Davis.
There's always one. Mark Davis, Jimmy Haslam. What's the difference?
I honestly came in this morning. I'm like, there's no way this could ever happen. Then EJ brought up the Raiders. There are a few teams that just have no solution at quarterback. Now, the Raiders, what if the Raiders go 7-10 this year or 6-11 and get the number 6 pick and all the quarterbacks are gone?
I don't know. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Points for creativity, EJ, because you're right. When you said Raiders, I was like, ooh, I got to pause for a second. The Raiders are, I'd believe anything almost about the Raiders. But it just makes no sense for them not to draft a quarterback. You're talking about a doomsday scenario where all the quarterbacks are gone. I don't even think it works out that way. I'd rather trade up to get a quarterback and draft them because here's the thing. If I'm just thinking about it from a job preservation, let alone a football, we'll get to that in a minute. But you just watched how bad this was in Cleveland. And I don't know if Stefanski and that whole front office might be on the hot seat because of how bad this is, right? You got a wild card owner with Haslam. If I bring that guy in and he continues to suck and he's still hurt and we get another allegation and all this stuff just continues how it's gone in Cleveland, which why would you think it'd be anything different? Then I will get fired.
As opposed to bringing in a
rookie quarterback definitely buys me a couple of years.
But the coach is not going to last in Vegas anyway. You have a coach on the hot seat already.
Sure. I just would rather draft a guy, and I think that's what the Raiders are doing.
Yeah, but they didn't draft one this year.
It's a lot of money, too.
Everybody drafted a quarterback this year, and the Raiders were like, we're good with nobody.
Well,
I don't know.
They kind of got shut out.
Well,
right?
Okay, here's another option. Deshaun Watson cuts his own salary, redoes a deal to help the team just to get out of Cleveland.
Does it look like he'd do something like that?
I think he would much rather be in Vegas than Cleveland, personally. Maybe 10%. Yeah, I don't think that's likely, but I mean, listen, how much money does this guy need? He's got $240 guaranteed million dollars.
I mean, I guess the only other place, and I don't even know how the money would work on this, and we can talk about it from the football side, but let's say something really bad happens with Tua, where he comes back, another concussion. We're wondering if we're ever going to see him again. We're already wondering if he should play again. But say Tua comes back. Say we get another terrible hit and he's off the field in an ambulance or something. And you're thinking next year, I wonder if Miami, another wild card owner, who I think they were definitely interested in Deshaun.
Yeah, but they would have to get Tua off the cap space. Yeah, the Raiders have $80 million of cap space next year, so they can fit Deshaun. There are a handful of teams that have enough space next year to fit Deshaun, and the Dolphins, unless they void Tua Tagovailoa's contract, that would never be an option. Also, that's another coach and GM who I think are embattled. You're right. I'm not sure what the easy solution here is.
GM that could be embattled so they can't push back. They kind of have to be like, all right, whatever you want, boss.
Cleveland could do this scenario where they start Jameis Winston for the rest of the year and make Deshaun so miserable that he takes less money to leave. And I'm sure he wants to leave.
Yeah.
First of all, this is going to sound like an excuse. It's not all Deshaun's fault. That offensive line is terrible.
Well, they're hurt.
Their receivers who are healthy are dropping everything, and they can't really get Njoku, who's probably their best offensive player, on the field. Nick Chubb comes back in 2 weeks, I read recently, or he's in practice now. And their line gets healthier. Maybe the team's better. I don't know. This is just like, it's one of those things where if it was a fantasy football trade, like, you would make it happen. Just find a way.
So we had a caller yesterday. We're talking about Deshaun Watson and whether there's some rumors floating around online and in football circles that he may be open to a trade from the Browns. And I bet I could, not to source guess, but
I don't know.
I wonder if the Browns are starting those rumors. Anyway, we did have a caller yesterday, Rich, who said, are they leaving him out to dry, making him look bad just so that he'll basically, you know, like, they're making Deshaun look bad on purpose to try to get him out of there? And I was like, that doesn't make any sense because they all invested all this money and time. But Perloff, it sounds like maybe you think there could be something to that. You start Jameis, you get him so mad that he wants to leave the organization willingly and becomes and helps you.
No,
with that.
I mean, I don't think the Browns could execute that plan. They'd probably accidentally start winning games if they're trying to lose. I don't know. Here's the thing. It's not just the Browns who are a mess. The Raiders are a mess, too. There are other teams that are a mess. So I think we have to keep our mind open.
The Steelers aren't bringing them in. Like, a well-run team is not going to do that.
The Steelers have never been afraid of character, guys.
But they're like a good organization who has a good reputation that they can that they do handle things, you know.
Really? Right. They have Mike Tomlin and they have the Rooney family, but they will definitely take character guys high up in the draft. They've done it many, many times. I mean, Antonio Brown, everyone, the rest of the NFL knew what Antonio Brown was. The Steelers were like, yep, we'll take him.
Yeah.
Santonio Holmes came in with all sorts of problems, like, yep, we'll take him.
Yeah, but the guys generally perform there, though. I mean, Antonio Brown up until the end when he totally just melted down.
First of all, the Steelers don't even want that kind of quarterback. They feel like they want a quarterback who's going to throw for 145 yards a game. Regardless, I hear you. But there are other teams like the Browns who make mistakes. I don't know. I just think that they cannot continue this next year. Like, there's too much negative energy. If it continues this way, the Browns are going to either cut him or trade him, or something's going to happen. This just cannot. He looks completely miserable. They look miserable. It doesn't look like he's part of the team necessarily. Like, if you watch the body language on the sideline afterwards, I don't think he really likes being there. I don't think they like him being there. It just feels like the NFL needs almost, I wish the NFL could step in and say, hey, you know what? This is terrible. Let's switch it up.
No, because you can't let the Browns off the hook like that. They made the bed. They've got to lie in it. I feel bad for the fans. It's not your fault. But for the organization, and obviously the Browns and the Steelers are not going to make a trade like that in the division. But you know what's the funniest thing about this, or saddest thing, I guess, is you watched this team make the playoffs last year. That's what's infuriating about it. And I know the defense isn't the same. I get it. It hasn't been. But that's where you're like, oh, what a missed opportunity. If you just had a competent quarterback, which is what I'd say Joe Flacco is at this point. He's not dynamic. He's not, you know, this is not Mahomes. But if you just have a competent quarterback, you're a playoff team. And now you're 1-4. It's just a bummer.
Well, yeah, I don't know that this year you would, with a competent quarterback, you would be in the playoffs because, again, they can't run the ball at all without Chubb. Jerome Ford, that little phenom didn't last. So also the other thing, too, is Watson played really well 2 games ago. His stats were good. His PFF grade was off the charts. Like, he was hitting guys in the chest, and it didn't matter. The rest of the team imploded. I don't think... And it's not necessarily on him. I don't think they follow him right now. I don't think, you know how a quarterback has some team leader characteristics? It doesn't feel like that's going down right now in Cleveland. It feels like he's isolated from the rest of the team.
855-212-4227. All right, getting started with some Deshaun Watson rumors for you. We've got Devontae Adams rumors for you. We've got Aaron Rodgers on the record for you. And plenty of college football to get to as we are just careening towards what is four... Just the headliners, 4 heavyweight matchups this weekend in college football. So much to do. It's Maggie and Perloff on this Thursday.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. All right, we got a lot going on today. Let's just all be honest here. Mets beat the Phillies. Well, how should I do this? Should I just rip the Band-Aid and let you guys gloat now? Should I try and delay it as long as I can? Do you guys want to dance or play one of those new Mets songs? I mean, how's this going to go? Just go ahead, torture me. Just do it. I don't even care anymore. I don't care about anything.
We've been meeting about this twice daily about how we were going to handle it. I think, you know, you're just going to have to bask in our excitement. You know, you're a peninsula of a Philly fan, just surrounded on all three sides by Mets fans. Me, EJ Bogish, Ryan Botcher, everyone in the newsroom, basically, if they're not Mets fans, they're Yankee fans.
Why are there no Yankee fans here? Yeah, it feels like this is a Mets territory, which is odd. But, okay, so I should root for a new team, and it can't be the Mets, obviously. So can I pick up a new team now my Phillies are out? Maybe an AL team?
No, this is sports. When your team's out of it, you're just out of it.
No, but I can root for the Tigers. I mean, like, not like root. I'm not going to wear Tigers gear, but I can have a friendly interest. No?
I think that's right.
Cinderella team?
I think once if your team is in the playoffs, that's your team. Like, that's it. Yeah, it's like a survivor pool.
No, I think, okay, I'll be honest. Like, I think I can root for whoever's playing the Mets.
Sure. If you want to do that, that's fine.
Hey,
you can root for the team that beat you.
Yes.
But see, I like to go the opposite way. I'm like, if you beat me, I hope you win the whole thing.
Right, right. It proves that you were actually a better team that year.
Yeah, like say the Mets end up playing whoever it's going to be, the Padres or the Dodgers, and they get swept. You're going to be like, I could have. That should have been us.
Yeah, we were this close. I use that logic all the time.
So, no, I don't think you can pick up for another team. Obviously, the Tigers are a great story. We'll see what happens.
I think we could all root for the Tigers a little bit. Here's the thing.
They have a payroll of like half of a season of Bryce Harper.
I know. I told you guys coming in that the Phillies did not look dangerous at all. And I wasn't just saying to hedge. Like, I knew they were going to score about one run a game. I don't know what it is. And, you know, I don't follow day-to-day necessarily. But you just had a set. You guys knew the Mets were going to win the series. I mean, it was the confidence level coming in was 100. I never saw you guys nervous.
I do want to say Perloff was right about this. You kept saying, doesn't matter that the Phillies were the best team in baseball, best record in, well, I guess the Dodgers, I think, had the best record in the National League. But you're like, it doesn't matter they've been in first place. It's all about who gets hot in the playoffs. I was like, no, you're emotionally hedging. You were right about that. Well, the Mets are the hotter team.
Look at the second half of the season. What's the Mets record? I know these stats about, like, they're the best team in baseball since a certain date. The Phillies certainly are not.
Basically, I mean, June 1st.
But yeah, right.
So the other part of this, can I just take you guys behind the scenes a little bit last night? So we were at this very fun gala, and Perloff was...
honoring Maggie.
Well, and about 157 other women, but...
Perloff all amazing was, women.
Is, top 200 is an accomplishment, Maggie.
As much as in the world.
Yeah. They get a comfortable playoff with those numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You should see our rush defense. But as much, like, I, you know, obviously, we, you were a great friend last night. You didn't have to go to that. You showed up for me.
Awesome.
Foxhole guy, Perloff all over the red carpet, jazz hands, finger guns. I mean, just really awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Are you kidding me? You don't have to ask. If there's a red carpet and an event that we got to dress up for, that was awesome. You kept saying you didn't have to come. I was thrilled to come. It was this beautiful space. And you're saying you're one of 100. It was like the top people in the industry. You were up there with a bunch of stars getting your award, short of getting your award.
Right. We'll tell that story in a second. But can I tell you that Perloff was live betting the Mets-Phillies game throughout salad and the entree.
My DraftKings account is overflowing right now. Because I've honestly bet every time. Why would you bet? Why would the odds change on the Mets when it's 1-0 in the sixth inning? Is there any reason not to bet on the Mets? I'm going to do it next series, too. This team doesn't like to score until the last three innings. Am I the only one who notices this? Is my unobjectivity about baseball make me an actual baseball genius, Maggie?
It's the best thing you could do, because if you're a Met fan and you're watching this and they don't score, they leave all these runners on base, which they did last night, you're thinking, oh, this is it. It's over.
Same old Mets.
Exactly. And now they've been this great comeback team. And so you took advantage of it betting-wise, because you're like, of course, the Mets have got the Phillies right where they want them, which is down 0-1 going into the sixth inning. They've left 100 people on base.
I don't understand this last three innings Mets. They are like the 27 Yankees all of a sudden. I just don't get it. I don't know why they don't do that early. Why don't they make the whole plane out of the black box? Why aren't they doing that in the first, second, third inning? I think it was a way to torture Phillies fans. Yeah.
And Met fans. Do you think those first five plus innings are fun?
As a fan, when it's you're down 1-0 in the sixth, like, do you feel confident, or are you like, are you guys always reverting to, oh, my team has let me down in the past, it's going to happen again?
I thought they were going to lose like 2-0 last night.
Especially when I maybe even more than that, because Mets sadness can come in a variety of flavors. So when Edwin Diaz, the closer, comes in and immediately walks two people, you're like, oh, is how it's going down tonight. Like, how are they going to break my heart this time?
Yep.
And so you thought it was going to be Diaz. But he ends up striking out Schwarber to win the game, win the series.
Yeah, this was not the year for the Phillies. I knew it all along. They want to be the Mets. They want to be that plucky underdog who comes out of nowhere. Next year, though, Bryce Harper's going to be healthy, back on the MVP trail. I am confident for 2025 Phillies calling it right now.
All right, we'll hold you to that.
Also, though, I don't know. I'm not going to let you on the hook, Pearl, because this is not a Phillies team that is a bunch of, you know, little sisters of the poor. We're talking about one of the highest payroll teams, one of the highest priced lineups.
Yeah.
And they lose in four games to a team that was, 10 games under in June. And you're like, oh, it's okay. We'll just get them next year. Where's the anger? Where's the what the hell happened to us? Where's the passion? Your team just got smoked by your division rival. You got to sit here, listen to me and these other arrogant Mets fans laugh at you and talk all crap for the next week. And you can sit here and be like, oh, well, 2025, Bryce will get them. Come on, Pearl.
Have I ever said a nice thing about Nick Castellanos or Trey Turner ever?
You hated the trade.
I love Schwarber and I love Harper. That's it. The rest of the team is hot garbage. And you had to bench your third best player because he couldn't even hit this series. Like, I knew they were dead. They can't be a front runner. They're not built for that. And by the way, baseball, it's the only sport where if you have a great record, you get penalized by having to sit there for 8 days.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. And, you're not going to get the tears from Perloff. You're just not going to get them. He's not going to serve them up because he's been emotionally hedging against this team for months.
And honestly, I've followed even our former boss, Spike Eskin, is down at the Philadelphia radio station. Yep. Even the Phillies fans, they knew this was not looking good. There was not a high confidence level at all for this series.
That just makes me sick. I'm sorry.
Like, but it's baseball.
I lived through 07, 08, okay? So I saw how Philly fans treated Mets fans as the collapses were happening. It was, you guys choked. Ha, ha, ha. You guys couldn't get it done. And, now you guys have the choke. You guys didn't come through. You were the team that was favored. And now it's like, oh, well, we knew we weren't going to win.
Well, here's the thing, EJ. Come on, man. You got to pick which Philadelphia choke you want to prioritize here, because we've got a lot of options on the table. I mean, you want to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, choked in the Super Bowl, then got off to a 10-1 start and choked away the rest of the season. You want to talk about perennial choker 76ers.
Well, the thing about the Phillies, only one choke that matters, and that's the second half against the Chiefs. But Philly fans don't know how to handle that. That was a bad PI call. You know, if he just had a little bit of jersey.
Bad turf.
That was a bad turf.
Right, but and the Chiefs didn't have to play on it either.
Yeah, but the Chiefs didn't rely on their pass rush like the Eagles did. Like, you needed Hassan Reddick to get to Mahomes, and they right. couldn't even stand up in the second half. That thing was like an ice rink, Maggie.
So basically, you got to choose your Philly's chokes. And
but if you're
it's like Baskin Robbins, yeah. 31 flavors.
Wait, do you realize the Liberty are going to become the first champion in 100 seasons in your beloved New York City? 100 you know professional seasons. Like, there's not even you can't choke when you your entire all four of your teams or all eight of your teams stink. There's no choking. At least we're in the playoffs.
Well, two teams are still playing. Two teams. Pete Pilati's still hanging around just to see Perloff suffer. That's a pal. Pete, we haven't heard from in weeks, but hanging around today of all days. And a big thumbs up. Bogus does have headlines.
By the way, can you put Pete on? Can you bring Pete in?
Pete. Yeah. Oh, let me see if I can get him in.
He's walking away.
There was a conversation in May where I said the Mets were terrible. I don't know if you guys remember this. The Mets were awful. And I'm like, it's baseball. You have no idea. They have like a gigantic payroll. I guarantee the Mets could turn around. And Pete Pilati sat right over there on the other side of the glass and guaranteed me that there was no way the Mets would turn around. He said there's 0% chance. I'm like, it's baseball. Of course there's a chance. And he said, no, Perloff, you don't follow the team. There is 0% chance.
Yeah. I'm a good time.
Pete Pilati.
Do you remember this day?
Pete, do you remember when I told you the Mets had a chance, and you said, you don't watch a team, they have no chance, they're the worst team ever. This was late May, and I'm like, it's baseball, they have this gigantic payroll, they have all this talent, of course they could turn around. You're like, nope. Do you remember this?
I do remember this, and I was wrong. And I'm glad I was wrong. Because this whole season is house money. This team yes. had no expectations whatsoever, and they went in there and they beat the NL Central champions, and they beat the NL East champions. And they could possibly beat the NL West champions. In the NLCS, if they get, you know, we'll see what happens with the Dodgers and Padres. But house money, these are the best years.
I don't even think you should be able to root for them anymore. I think you should take down all those Go Mets tweets and just like, no, you gave up on your team. You guys are saying that I'm a weak fan. What about that? You all gave up on your team, and now you're all wearing Mets gear. It's ridiculous.
Can I go pick another team like some other people around here?
And then pick another one tomorrow, and then go back to somebody else on Monday.
Well, here's pick the Rockies.
You know, picking get off your team in May is different than trying to do that in October.
Right. Yeah,
you made it all the way to October and you jumped off.
I see a lot of orange and blue here, and I did not see a lot of orange and blue in June. I feel like you guys are the real bandwagon fans.
They were
fans.
11 games under .500. Everyone was trying to figure out what they were trying to do.
Well, if you guys were really these great fans that you claim to be, wouldn't you have had faith back then when they were 11 games under?
Well, technically, I think we were all secretly wearing purple because that's when Grimace took over, and that was just right. one of the many totems that the Mets have relied on now.
This is why this is happening, because of the big man Grimace.
I thought it was, wasn't it the Hawk Tua girl?
So it's a couple things. No. So a couple things. You had Grimace, and then you also had just this amazing June, of which it is like Gay Pride Month. And so there was a lot of stuff about, hey, there's like this great happy atmosphere. Then it was Hawk Tua girl. Then it was Jose Iglesias, OMG. Actually, Iglesias was first.
Yeah.
Then Hawk Tua.
I wouldn't put Hawk Tua in this. That was a day where they were embarrassed as a franchise. Like, that's not the same thing as the rallying around Grimace and pimps and songs. I wouldn't include her. Like, she's part of the story of the season, but
they didn't go on a win streak after she threw out the first pitch.
They lost that game.
Yeah. That she doesn't matter in the list of mascots for this year.
No,
it all matters, guys. And by the way, it's the Mets. They're not above Hawk Tua. You know.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it all's in the stew. It creates the lore.
Meanwhile, Rob Manfred is praying that the Dodgers win this series again.
So am I.
Advance to play the Mets. That would be
Padres
very good.
Scary.
Yeah.
Me too.
But yeah, I think the Shohei effect is real, though. Like, I think baseball, if you had the Padres, imagine, I'm sorry, if it's Padres and Tigers, like, baseball is going to be like, oh, man, we almost got Shohei through.
Padres on the loose. Let's go, Goose.
I mean, by the way, baseball experts around me, what happened to that Dodgers pitching staff that can't pitch?
Literally used eight relievers yesterday.
It never works. And just the fact is that the Padres went to Dylan Cease on short rest, and apparently he can't do that. And it was the first time they ever tried it.
Yeah, I know.
Time to try it.
Yeah, I was going to say, is now the time to experiment?
Is this the greatest it's a historic bullpen shutout. Isn't that crazy? Like this, what they did last night has never been done.
Thank you, Pete. Get home safely.
It's the second time that a team has used 8 pitchers in a shutout in the postseason.
Oh, second time. Okay.
Yeah. The first was, and the Tigers did it in the afternoon first, and the Dodgers did it last night. They are the only 2 teams ever to win a playoff game by getting less than 4 outs from their starter.
Wow.
Really?
Yes.
I thought the Rays did this in like the 2020 season.
Well, the Rays oftentimes didn't take that starter, the opener guy out after the first inning, which the Tigers did yesterday, and so did the Dodgers last night.
Crazy.
Is there any chance for they take a similar approach for Game 5?
No, I think they did that yesterday because by tomorrow night, someone will be on regular rest again for them.
I love Game 5s and Game 7s in baseball when the ace is warming up in the 8th inning. When they have to empty everybody, that's one of the most fun things in baseball.
Well, you saw your closer have to come in the 6th inning last night.
Yeah,
I mean, David Peterson's got number 3 starter, and I still got chills being like, yeah, here we go, starting pitcher. Going to close it down, even though they went to Diaz in the 9th, which was questionable.
Nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
One story that we didn't talk about, we don't have to do it now because I know, Bogus, you got your headlines. The story about Jack Flaherty getting robbed.
No, Walker Buehler.
I thought it was Flaherty who
it's
got
Buehler.
Robbed.
It's Buehler.
I'm sorry, Buehler.
Yeah.
Buehler got robbed. This is crazy. We never heard the story, but he was at Santa Anita Racetrack, and he and his wife were there, and they got robbed, and someone took his watch.
But I think, took it off his wrist, in a weird...
They slipped it off, like a cat burglar style.
Yeah, he didn't know it was missing at first. It wasn't like... I don't think there was, a stick-up.
No, he wasn't threatened at all, but someone mugged him without him knowing.
Yep.
That's a mugging?
Scary.
That's a pickpocket situation.
I guess, but I don't know if they took his wallet, too, but how do you slip someone's watch? Do you almost... Listen, it's bad. I'm not advocating for crime, but are you a little impressed?
Yeah, but by the way, you're like, this is scary. You get pickpocketed at the Santa Ana racetrack. That's where you get pickpocketed.
saying you should have been watching.
I mean, if you're hanging out on the rail, anything could happen. What are you talking
Might
about?
Might as well be in Times Square.
It's not like he was at the
opera?
The Versace store and what's it? And when was he there? Isn't he getting ready for a baseball series?
Well, of course, but it was an off day, and he's from Lexington, so he's just a big horse guy.
I just feel like the dream team of scammers and pickpockets are probably at the Arcadia or whatever this racetrack was.
The Jordan Barkley and
the Santa and the Santa Anita.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, no, I did not know that.
He was unknowingly the victim of a snatch and grab.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Really? I feel like we don't hear
hand.
About these.
I don't understand how you get pickpocketed when it's on your hands.
Your own hands.
Well, isn't it you sort of bump them on the left so they're distracted and somebody, isn't that how it works? I've seen a lot of in the movies.
Do you not feel it?
I don't know. In the movies, it happens all the time.
That's a movie.
Well, it's also got to be one of those watches that has the quick clasp. It can't be one with a leather where you have to put the little,
Well, this is not. It's a $100,000 watch. It's
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it has to be
a good clasp
band or something like that.
Yeah.
And you should be able to feel that part too. My one nice watch, when you take that clasp off, you can feel the weight change
of your
significantly.
Hand.
Yeah. Right.
You look down an hour later, you're like, what time is it? Oh,
crap.
No.
Do you know, in the Ocean's 11 movies, they're always, pickpocketing guys, expertly?
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in the real world. I think it does. If
shows up.
Go around the New York subway and hold your iPhone loosely. We'll see, Ryan, how safe that is. You can get pickpocketed in this world.
I think they just grab it, though. I don't... This
no, you... Oh, yeah. No.
Like, look over there. It's grimacing.
Yeah.
No, I think there are stealthy pickpockets. Yeah, that happens. That's not a made-up thing here.
No, it's not a pocket, though. It's a wrist.
That's true. I
bet you someone bumped him on the left. And they stole it. Well, which hand is on his left hand? So they bumped him on the right. And once you're bumped around, you get all discombobulated. And that's when they took the watch. We'll see.
Have you guys ever seen, this is more a thing that happens sometimes in foreign countries around tourist destinations.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's a woman who looks like she's holding a baby.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not actually holding a baby. And they're really just pickpockets. It's crazy. This happens sometimes. I know around St. Mark's Square in Italy and stuff like that.
Yeah. I have a little experience in this field.
You got a story?
We
as
always
the victim or the perp?
The victim.
Yes. Perloff had a whole other life where he was a cat burglar.
I'll just say real quick, we used to go to a very questionable Stop and Shop to buy liquor when we were teenagers. And
is there any other kind?
Everybody, multiple times we got either pickpocketed, they ripped off my friend's pocket because they're like, you're not calling the cops because you are underage drinking. Right. So we used to get robbed at I can't remember what it was. We had this one place where they would serve you if you were like 11 years old.
Oh, jeez.
But then
is it a baby bottle?
But, they're like, well, you might get robbed outside because they know who you know that you're not going to call the cops. That happened a lot, but it was still worth it just to get those wine coolers back in the day.
Boone's Farm.
Yeah, did you guys do that when you were teenagers?
Bartles and James.
Oh, yeah. That was great stuff.
We used to take the box of wine, just take it out of the box and just pass the pouch.
Again with the pouches, Maggie.
It must be an upstate New York thing, guys.
My friend called me.
It's environmentally sound.
I'm sorry, I keep pushing off updates, but my friend called me the other day. He goes, what's the deal with the pouches of milk that Maggie was talking about? Honestly, he's like, I've never heard of that. He was perplexed that you grew up drinking milk out of pouches.
Yeah, we did. What's up with the pouches? Pouches of milk. And it's not a euphemism.
The way you said it, you're like, do you guys remember when we had pouches of milk at lunch and middle school? I'm like, no.
No, everyone's like spitballing about like Sunny D and stuff. And I'm like, milk pouches? And just the room got silent.
And you had the perfect response, Perloff. Like, were you under FEMA help?
Yeah. I wonder what it's like. Were those government provided milk pouches? What? And you're like, they're clear?
Yeah, they
sounds were. Like they gave out at Firefest.
Who do you think was the inspiration for that? Yeah, no, they were clear. You had to see the difference between regular and chocolate milk. How else would you be able to tell? Table? Right.
We're like, do you remember, like, you put the straw in the Sunny D, and you're like, yeah, like the milk pouches. What?
This is a record scratch. All right, let's pause on that for a second. We'll get to some headlines, because I need to know what's going on in the world.
All the headlines are sponsored.
Wait, can we pause? We have 2 seconds. Can we hold it off or no?
You can make fun of me some more for being a Phillies fan if you come back. If you hang around.
What's the question?
Can we hold off? Just do quick commercial and then we'll come back?
Whatever you want.
Yes. Quick commercial. We're back with headlines in a minute. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, Andrew Bo.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now. But later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural,
or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bookish has headlines for us. We got stuck chit-chatting about Walker Buehler got pickpocketed. Someone lifted a $100,000 watch right off of his wrist at a racetrack he didn't even know. So we got a little sidetracked on that story. Bugs, what's up?
Headlines are all sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. We are waiting on confirmation from Philadelphia. Not sure if it's football or basketball or hockey season now, but it sure ain't baseball season anymore.
Now the pitch. Swing and a drive towards the gap in right center. It's pretty deep. It's back near the wall. It's gone. It's gone. Francisco Lindor. He may have just outdone himself. He has hit a grand slam into the Phillies bullpen in right center field. The Mets are leading by a score of 4-1.
Howie Rose on Mets radio. The Mets squandering scoring chances like it was going out of style before Lindor's historical swing in the sixth last night. They won the game 4-1 when Edwin Diaz K'd Kyle Schwarber as the tying run. They take the series 3-1. But at least people are handling things well in Philadelphia with their season over. Courtney O'Neill spoke to WFMZ-TV last night.
So there's a couple low points in my life. My dog passing away and them getting a grand slam. The grand slam took the cake.
Lindor. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Best of luck, Fido. So what happens?
Oh, my goodness. That's kind of disrespectful to your dog.
Kinda.
Yeah, dog's part of the family. I mean, the Phillies were definitely losing the series. You knew that.
You guys ever seen the video of the Phillies fans coming after they lost last year in the LCS, talking about Rob Thompson?
Yes.
They are the most Philly fans. You can say what you want. They are creatively negative.
Yeah.
Well, they're all time. Like, that felt like at least Aguilar didn't drop it. Like, yeah. Philly fans are, they're good for, they're much more fun after they lose. Mm. Well, I like her attitude.
Yeah, no, I've got more from Courtney because she's got a lot of work to do to bounce back from this heartbreak.
I feel like I might either check in the AA therapy or an institute of some sort because this is crap. It's full of crap.
Yeah, I like her attitude.
Professional help.
She might be met by a lot of other Philly fans there. They're going to be overrun the facility.
I'll say this. Whether the Phillies won or lost, if you need AA, please go to AA. Like, don't do this because the Phillies lost.
Wow,
okay?
I mean, listen. If the Eagles, they're huge favorites this weekend against Cleveland. If the Eagles win, she's not going to AA. All is good in her world.
I know, right? We're back, baby.
We're back. Yeah, all you need is... But if the Eagles lose to the Browns, like, she's going to do a 28-day rehab. Like, that is...
going to be like Kendall Roy, just like a one day in and then flying back out.
Yeah. No, she's going to go to a halfway house if the Eagles lose. That would be devastating.
You are a 9-point favorite.
But it's... FYI, it's never baseball season in Philadelphia. It's always football season.
The Eagles are good.
Yeah.
Always hear that conveniently after one of the other sports seasons ends.
I know.
Yeah.
That's the worst part about it, because you guys, it's us front runners with the Phillies and Sixers.
You look at the four teams there. How would you approach it? Would you be a Sixers, like, Sixers? Like, I'm going to put all my eggs into that basket? No way. It's all about the birds.
Good point. She should prematurely check herself in, just hang out for a little bit.
Yeah, by the way, I mean, she clearly has some issues.
It's all about the birds. It's all about the birds, unless there's humidity involved or a bad field. Mm-hmm. Then it's someone else's fault.
This is a good job by that TV producer. They could have interviewed anybody living the game, and they were like, we need Courtney.
You know, let me ask, is Courtney O'Neill famous or something? Or do you just keep, like, is she just a random fan?
Yeah, they were at some, it wasn't even at the game. They were at something. I don't know if it was like a mall or like it was a weird collection of places to hang out and watch the game. There was a bar. Ooh. There was a Chicky and Pete. Like, it was a weird. Like,
the Xfinity Center, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But you said it like that was somebody noteworthy. You're like, just ask Courtney O'Neill.
Well,
just some random person.
They put her name on the TV, on the video that I was watching. So I wrote her name down.
Okay.
Gave her full credit.
No, I like it.
As for the Mets.
They asked Meryl Streep. What do you think?
You think it was tough on you? Let's talk to Courtney O'Neill.
Game one of the NLCS for the Mets is Sunday night, but they don't know who their opponent is just yet. The Dodgers staying alive with an 8-0 thrashing of the Padres in San Diego. Game five in L.A. tomorrow night. The Yankees took a 2-1 lead on the Royals with a 3-2 win in KC. The difference there, Giancarlo Stanton's solo homer tiebreaker in the top of the eighth. And the Tigers blanked the Guardians 3-0 for their own 2-1 lead. All three games of that series have been shutouts. The NFL is reportedly investigating the curse on George Pickens' eye black on Sunday Night Football. It read, "Milk shouldn't be in bleeping pouches." It actually said, "Open bleeping always." And shocked to know that you can't write curse words on any part of your uniform.
And it results in three targets per game for George Pickens, too. That's the irony of it.
I think it'd be funny if they're like, "Well, we were going to fine you, but it was true."
Well,
we're not going to fine you.
I also have a syntax question there. That's not the way you would even write that complaint out.
And even if you're doing on two different eye blacks, it doesn't make any sense.
No, not even a little bit. Yeah. Always bleeping open is the way to do that.
Yeah. Was he writing it in a mirror?
That's supposed to be a message to the quarterback or the DB. If I'm guarding you, like,
it's got to be to the quarterback.
Yeah, right.
The quarterback doesn't seem to know he's on the team.
Right.
It was the most bizarre thing I've ever done.
He can also just tap Justin Fields on the shoulder. Right. He doesn't have to write it on
the... He got seven targets. Maggie thought that was a decent number. Seven targets for you're the only receiver on the team. I don't even know who the number two receiver is. They never throw him the ball. So that's why he's worried. You're right. He's sending a message to the coaching staff. I'm open, dude. It's on my eye
black. Meetings and huddles where he could just verbalize his
request. I'm sure he does all the time.
That I agree with.
You gotta send the message home with eye black.
I love he burned $15,000.
He just exhausted all other options. He's like, "I've been in the meeting, yeah. I sent a memo, Slack, I've called the players only meeting, nothing."
He's gotten 36 targets in five games. He's their number one receiver by a mile. There is something bizarre going on there. What's the best?
Offense sucks.
Yeah, I mean, but they need to throw it to George Pickens. I like his eye black here.
But maybe he's not open bleeping always.
That could be another factor.
Well, you don't know because they're always throwing it to him when he's basically out of bounds. It's weird.
Well, unless he's right below Justin Fields' feet, where Justin Fields is looking for 70% of his drops, then George Pickens is not going to get open. He's basically looking down like, "All right, how am I going to escape and make a play here?" Sorry, I mean, Justin Fields is a great runner, but he is not exactly seeing the wide receivers down the field.
Night two of the NHL season, Vegas outscored Colorado 8-4, four assists for Jack Eichel. The Jets blanked the Oilers 6-0, 30 saves for Connor Hellebuyck. And Rafael Nadal just announced he is retiring from tennis after playing for Spain in the Davis Cup next month. The 22-time major winner has been ravaged by injuries over the last few years. Guys, back to you.
Nadal deserves all, the praise and everything, but doesn't the first instinct go to, how is Djokovic still doing this?
He's 2 years younger, right? Isn't he a little younger?
I guess so.
He's a little younger.
Or maybe not even. I don't know.
No, he's probably a year or two younger. But yeah. He's also a different type of player.
But he's definitely
1 year younger.
He's definitely losing it, though. You could see Djokovic was, he's all of a sudden not winning as like he did.
Yeah, I mean, he can't play the same schedule. None of them can at that age, but he's still a factor. Nadal hasn't really been a factor in a while.
Yeah. I have a hot take on Nadal. If Nadal wasn't a lefty, Federer would have beaten him a lot more times. So that's one of my great sports excuses. I think it's hard.
You're good at those.
A great sports excuse, you want to call that?
That's a great sports excuse. I think the spin coming off, you play tennis, Maggie. The spin coming off a lefty racket is like, it's hard to get used to.
100% agree with Perloff on this one.
I mean, a lot of people, I'm not coming up with that take. Like, Federer was amazing. He was top of his game, but that on clay, Nadal.
It was always just high to Federer's backhand, and that's just not, that's not a winning shot. You're always playing defense when it's high to your backhand. Guys, come on, this is tennis 101.
I'm dumbfounded right now.
I'm surprised by y'all, actually.
He's lefty. What are we talking about?
I know.
It's like saying, "Oh, if Babe Ruth was right-handed, maybe he wouldn't have hit 60 home runs." Like, what are you doing? That's the player he's playing against. It's not his fault.
What do they say? All southpaws should be drowned at birth. That's what they say.
It's tough.
Not me.
It's tough. When you got to guard a left-handed player, that is hard.
I'm in agreement with Perloff on this one.
This is insane to
Somewhere
me.
Federer nods his head slowly and a single tear rolls down his face. Okay, Bogus, thank you so much. Lots to do, including a shakeup at quarterback. We'll get to it next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.